Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that out of your mercy you instituted a new sacrament in which we eat your body and drink your blood. Grant us your grace that we do not receive this gift unworthily, but that we be led to confess our sins, trust in your agony and death, believe in the forgiveness you won for us, and day by day desire to grow in faith and love. Assure us of your salvation, strengthen us by your supper, and bless us until we obtain eternal life. We pray this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this chosen for this evening is written in the 26th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 26th verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear partakers of Christ's Holy Supper, Americans in general like to look for new things. Something new has to happen in our lives, or life is getting stale. It isn't enough to have a mobile phone. We have to have the latest and the best apps. Tech companies that don't put out a new product every 6 months are behind the times. Box stores and malls are losing business because there's something new on the block, that is Amazon, and people can shop from home. Fast food restaurants must develop a new menu periodically in order to keep customers coming back. And even people who live in houses for a long time, and then you see on these TV shows how they have to redo everything, make it new in order to have something new, you know, one can live in. Now, some things that are old do need to be set aside, not because they're useless or bad, but simply because they fulfilled the purpose. We heard that in our Old Testament lesson, where God promises to make a new covenant because the people had broken the old covenant of the law. In this case, Jesus made us a new covenant because something new happened. He had fulfilled the old covenant. It no longer was in effect. And so by making a new covenant on that Lord's Supper night, he, by his death, had fulfilled the promises of the old. And by his new covenant, he has given us the promise of life and salvation and forgiveness. He fulfilled the promises that God had made to Abraham, Adam, and King David. And so the Lord's Supper is a new will and testament on the part of God for us. Let us look, therefore, at our text and at the Lord's Supper to see that Christ institutes a new sacrament. This means that he fulfilled the old to give us the new, and that he gives us his body and blood for forgiveness and salvation. On the night before he was betrayed, or the night that he was betrayed, Jesus sat down with his 12 disciples, as we heard in our gospel lesson. This was what the church called the Last Supper. It was the last Passover, but also the Lord's Supper. And all of this happened the night before Jesus died. John and Peter had prepared that Lord's Supper. Their lamb was roasted whole, the unleavened bread was put on, the bitter herbs was put on the table, and the wine, all of that was prepared and there. And for 1,400 years, the children of Israel had celebrated this Passover. Now, God wanted the people to remember his deliverance from the slavery in Egypt. It was a slavery that the people of Israel could not escape from without God's work and deliverance. On that day, God had commanded that a lamb be killed and that the blood of the lamb be sprinkled on the doorpost and on the lintel. And he promised that the angel of death would pass over the door in Egypt And would not kill those people, the firstborn of those who were inside that house. And that's what happened. But after the children of Israel left, and at Mount Sinai, God instituted the Passover as a continuing celebration. God wanted the people to remember the deliverance that they had when they left Egypt. He wanted them to see that it was God's doing, and to praise and glorify God for that. But even more importantly, the reason why God wanted this to happen every year is that he was looking forward, and he wanted the people to look forward to the deliverance that the Redeemer would give, deliverance from the slavery of sin. And so the lamb that was sacrificed was represented the Lamb of God who was going to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. And that is Jesus. Just as the Israelites could not free themselves from slavery without God's intervention, so you and I cannot free ourselves from the troubles that we have, especially the sin and the judgment of God. We cannot do it because the scripture says that no one can be justified in God's sight. And all of the things that we do are evil, as the Bible says. We are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. This bondage applies to all people. For the Bible says, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And that applies then to us. From the time of conception, temptation, sin, and death have been our constant companions. Paul states that death on earth and death in hell are the just punishments for our sins, and that there is no escape from them as far as our deeds or as far as our good intentions or our devotions to God or our love to God. It won't work. And this is why we celebrate Holy Week, because God provided a different type of deliverance. Not one where God sent plagues on the world and wiped out animals and other people, but where God sent a deliverer, where God sent his only begotten Son as the Redeemer, the one who would pay his life with his life and redeem us, that is, buy us back from the slavery of sin and end the slavery of death. Because where there is no sin, where it's been forgiven, then we have life from God. Now, because we can't save ourselves under the law, God sent his Son to rescue us from the consequences of our sins. He promised that in the Old Testament. He told Adam and Eve that Eve's descendants shall bruise the Satan's head, and you shall bruise his heel. God promised Abraham that in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And he was talking about the blessing of the Messiah and his salvation. And God said to King David, your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. And so here are the promises that God made over centuries are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Here is the salvation that we're celebrating tonight. Jesus said, this is the blood of a new covenant, because the old covenant had been fulfilled in Jesus by his death on the cross. And this new covenant is established with this promise: he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The word saved means rescued, delivered. And the word testament or covenant means something that is a promise made under oath. It's like a last will and testament. And a will is put into effect when somebody dies. The night before Jesus was betrayed, he gave a new covenant, a new will, and put that into effect. And because he died, that will cannot be changed. We are not to reject it or change it or amend it or turn away from it, because this will is God's will, and it gives us many blessings. For we should not think of the Lord's Supper as just a meal that of remembrance. We're not to think that it's a meal that just symbolizes his presence, and that tonight we're just gathering together to reenact the Lord's Supper. what kind of meal would that be? It would be empty, because Jesus instituted a new covenant and a new supper in order to bring us his body and blood and the forgiveness of sins. You see, on the night Jesus was crucified, he wasn't just thinking about his death. He was thinking about you and me. Jesus instituted this new sacrament in order to come to us. Wherever people, God's people are in the world, no matter what time of the history, God is willing and able to come to us through his sacrament, to give us his body and blood, to commune with us and be united with us, in order to bring us these blessings that he won for people on the cross. In his words of institution, Jesus told us what he is giving to us in the Lord's Supper. Those words are clear and certain. Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Jesus took the unleavened bread of the Passover and told the disciples to eat this bread. And through the words of institution, he said that this bread is his body. Now, we don't know how that can be. We don't know how he can do it. We don't have to. Jesus is God. He can do whatever he promises. And therefore, we can be assured that what he says is true and that what he gives is a blessing to us. Now, the bread does not become God, Christ's body, as if we're chewing his flesh. Jesus is here in a sacramental way, a real presence, and yet in a sacramental way, so that we truly receive his body and his blood, as the words declare. Because Jesus wants to come to us and be with us. St. Paul says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And the answer is, yes, it is, because Jesus has said so. That union also exists between the wine and Christ's blood. The word is simply cannot mean simple, symbolize or represent. That would be an empty meal for us if it was just a symbol. Jesus calls this a new covenant because he fulfilled God's law. He kept the old covenant, and now he wants to institute a new. And he wants us to have it. And since Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, his human nature was exalted to be equal with God. And both human and divine natures exist in one person. Now, we could say that God is present everywhere in the world, and so Jesus is also. But that's not the sacramental union that we talk about. Jesus himself comes in a special way whenever the words are added to the elements so that we can know that he is truly with us. But he just doesn't give us his presence. That's not the blessing. The real blessing is through the body and blood of Christ, we receive what he won for us. That is forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. And this, our small catechism says, where there is remission of sins, there is also life and salvation through his name. The word salvation refers to rescuing us from death. And the word life refers to the eternal life that we have because our sins are forgiven. For you see, if our sins are forgiven, God looks at us as though we had not sinned because they've been put away. They've been covered over. They've been hidden like a thick cloud so that God sees us without sin. And that's why we can have the certain hope of eternal life, because God can only let in holy people into heaven. But through faith in Jesus, through the sacrament, we are given that holiness that Jesus won for us on the cross. And that holiness is ours. And this is these are the blessings that we receive in the Lord's Supper. It's a real meal. It's the real deal. And because of that, we can rejoice in coming to the Lord's Supper. Paul describes another blessing of this supper when he says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Just as the supper unites us with Jesus, so it unites us with all of those who partake tonight, with all the members that partake at other times, and with all of the Christians in the world that partake today and other times in the Lord's Supper. It's a meal of unity, a meal of love and joy, And it is this unity that makes a congregation, that shows love to one another, that helps one another, that prays for one another, that cares about one another. All of this is a result of receiving the Lord's Supper. What a blessing that we have, to have so much given to us, to have such a great meal for our soul, for our life, and for our eternal future. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he instituted a wonderful meal. He wants us to partake of this heavenly food often, so that we are assured of the forgiveness of sins, so that we dwell together in unity, so that we receive strength to live holy lives according to God's will, and so that we have strength to deal with the troubles and issues of this life. May God bless us as we partake of that supper, that new covenant, and as he blesses us with forgiveness, life, and salvation. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.